Hey, music makers, welcome back to Make More Music, the podcast that connects you to music and one another. My name's Chris. I'm a board-certified music therapist, and this is where the music therapy community and the gear community and the music industry all meet. It's a chance to hear a lot of different stories about people's lives, how they've made a career and a living in a music-related field. So today I've got a great one for you. I got some cool stuff coming up for season three as we get ready for this transition. So you'll definitely want to be following on Instagram at make.more.music. And otherwise, today I got a good one for you. This is my buddy from Orlando, Elijah DaCosta. I'm close with him and his family during our time when we were there. And I just keep watching how cool Elijah is and all the stuff he gets to do. So you're going to like this. He's in broadcast and he talks about, you know, how he thought he was going to have this music path and how he got into this broadcast path, but then how that's been able to fuel his passion for music. He has a band that's reached 1 million plays on Spotify, and then also just his extra background in IO engineering and his own podcast called We Are Human, which is kind of just this really intimate conversations with friends and really good video podcast as, you know, a broadcast guy. So you'll definitely want to check out everything he's doing. We talk about all kinds of stuff, Dragon Ball Z and meditating and, you know, how broadcast is like a live performance. So I think you'll really like this one. It's a good chat. Without further ado, here's Make More Music with Elijah DaCosta.
Thank you.
All right, man. Elijah, we've known each other for a while. Welcome to the podcast, man. I'm excited to talk about everything you do, which is a lot of different stuff, and your podcast too, which is pretty cool, really intimate chats with, you know, close family and friends and stuff like that. So, but how's the morning going for you thus far?
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me. And it's been a great morning so far. These last few weeks have been amazing. It's just been like a transition in season. So I'm very, very excited.
That's good. I think we're all ready to turn a corner right now. Like everybody's tired and ready for what's next. And
oh, absolutely.
Gosh. Well, before we hop into everything about your story, you ready to do a few rapid fire?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, cool, man. So first, I want you to pull out your phone or whatever you listened to music on last. Whatever the last track was that you played on any of your media players.
So I use Tidal for streaming music.
They pay the best. Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly, but I've read some stuff that like they're very late on paying their royalties. So it's more that they pay, but they're late. So I'm like, I have all three, to be honest. But the last thing I was listening to, was a song by Jaden Smith. I'm not going to lie. I do like Jaden Smith. I think he's very interesting. And it's called Deep End.
Okay, I haven't heard that one, but I mean, anything from, you know, Will's progeny is bound to be good, I would say, you know.
They definitely have the budget to make sure that his projects are good.
Touche, touche. I was big into, like, Wild Wild West and Willennium was, like, the perfect age for me. I was, like, 8 through 12 kind of when all that stuff was coming out, and, man, Willennium was such a good album. Cool. Well, the next one, you can take it as, philosophically or, you know, as specifically as you want to take it, or you can just be like, I don't know, I feel like I'm this, but if you were an instrument, what would you be?
Oh man, that's hard.
I know.
I want to say that part of me wants to always say that I'm an electric guitar, but I think at the core, like, I'd be a drum set. Like, that was my first real, like, instrument. I played percussion in middle school band. And when, you know, you could only play the snare drum, right? So I was like, I gotta do it. I want to do it. And I auditioned, you know, like all the other kids. And everybody, of course, wanted to play percussion. But
I know you're one of those. I didn't get to play percussion. They made me play trumpet.
Oh, that was my second option, actually. It was trumpet, and then baritone, I think, is what was my third selection. Or like a tuba or something, yeah.
Yeah, they did the whole, we have too many percussionists, play something else.
Yeah, yeah. <had that.
laughs> No, and like drumline had come out not too, like, oh, distant.
I stopped after that. After, like, when I started high school, I was like, marching band? I can't do this.
Yeah, I kept going. I don't really know why. Because I didn't love it. I didn't really love Band Kids. And I enjoyed performing, but I look back and I was like, that was definitely the first glimpse of my personality that like goes with the flow and not as an Enneagram 9, not say, I want to quit this. You know?
Like, right. Oh, okay. So you're a 9? Like, that's interesting.
Yes. Yes.
I'm a 2.
Yes.
I'm a 2, the helper. So that's totally
well,
fun.
Yeah, we go together. We're both awkwardly self-sacrificing. But that's good, man. So I like those answers too when people say, you know, I wish I was this, but I'm probably this instrument too. I always think that's fun. Well, you were talking about this, you know, inspiring season change for you. So what has been inspiring you recently? Can be anything. That doesn't have to be music related at all.
Honestly, just my friends, man. Like I am such a big, like I'm huge on friendship and like community. And I've had friends, like the same friends since I was like 10, 11, you know, middle school. We're all very close. And the great thing about it is over the last decade, I've been able to kind of connect them together, like different friend groups, because I was always bouncing around. And around the time, like a few months ago, I've had like lots of, you know, in-depth conversations with them. And they're actually people who slowly inspired the passion project for We Are Human. So they've been inspirational lately, like they've been inspiring me. I've just known that I've been in kind of like a rocky season in the beginning of the year, and just being aware of that and wanting to get out of it and like, you know, creating healthy behaviors and healthy habits, healthy routines in the morning and throughout the day, with like prayer and meditation and just, you know, having like a good solid 5 minutes to be alone has really like brought me up or like uplifted my spirits.
That's good. Well, that's a good follow-up to the next one is what's like a pro tip or a hack or, you know, what's one of these things that has made the biggest difference in that season that you would tell people like, you got to try?
I mean, I know that it can be a little, I don't know if it's taboo or not with like meditation in like the Christianity world. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think it needs to be like taboo at all, because when I meditate, which is what I do that I think people should do, I really just sit there and it ultimately leads me talking to God. Like it's not something that people really think that it is like, meditating, they must be Buddhist or something. I don't know. Like it has such a negative like connotation to it with some people in the Christian community, but really it's just being still and present. And essentially when you're praying and you're talking to God and having your time with God, you need to be still and present. So I kind of blend the two and it really helps me like start my day well. And I recommend that to everybody. And if you're not comfortable with the term meditating, I mean, like it's really just, you know, praying too. So I love it. And I think that it's great. And it's definitely helped me. And I communicate better with God through that. And, have the time aside to prioritize that.
So what's the first step for somebody that feels awkward sitting there the first time?
It's definitely weird. Cause I started with like a little, with an app.
Okay.
Called Headspace.
There's a lot of those now. Yeah. What's that one?
Headspace.
Okay.
And, a friend of mine recommended it to me and, I chose one about happiness because like I said, I was in like a rocky season and, you know, I wasn't very happy. And, you know, they kind of guide you through it. They just tell you to sit, breathe, and, you know, just try to not overthink and let your thoughts wander. So it's definitely tough. But what I would say to someone is just be open to trying it. Try to sit still for like 1 minute, because that can be very hard for people with ADD or, you know, who are very anxious. So just try to put your phone away and just sit still for like 2 to 5 minutes and just think about the present, like where you're sitting right now. And I mean, like it definitely will soothe you, like, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And making yourself slow down in kind of this chaos. Well, I love this transition. It's 180 degrees. What is your go-to junk food?
Oh, my go-to junk food. I really love mozzarella cheese sticks. Nice. I guess that's junk food, nice. You know? You shouldn't eat too much cheese.
Well, when you eat about 10 of them in a sitting, yeah. For sure.
That's been my thing lately. But also, like, Cheeto puffs. Those are like my guilty pleasure.
Those are two solid choices there. I like that.
I like cheese, man. I
I get in trouble for you know, eating too much of my daughter's snack food. I'm like, there's no cheese sticks left and it's Tuesday, and it's like, I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad.
It's there and I just want it. Lastly, this can be anybody or anything or an organization, but who's somebody that's doing something cool that you want to give a shout out?
Oh man, that's hard. There's so many people. Oh my gosh. I want to shout out my friend Clarissa. She has just recently started like her own page. She does ceramics and she's actually helping me out with creating mugs for We Are Human. So I'm partnering up with her.
So cool.
Yeah, and I think what she's doing is so dope, and it's taken her a little while to really kind of go for it. So I'm just very proud of her that she's actually taking action to it, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Well, we'll have to link to her stuff so people can find it.
Absolutely.
Well, that's cool, man. So take me back to little young Elijah. What were some of your first musical memories, either as a real little kid or when you first kind of were cognizant of music in your life?
Okay, so I have two, and I'll try and make them like short and quick. But the first one is Bowling for Soup. I remember listening to
1985.
Yep, and their song Almost.
I don't know that one. Yeah,
it's another one that, you know, they all kind of sound the same a little bit. But driving in New York. Well, my mom be driving, you know, and I remember hearing that on the radio all the time, and I was like, wow, this is like the perfect amount of like rock. Like, I love this. This is great. And I had to have been like younger than 10. And so there's that one where I realized like, wow, I enjoy music. And then when we moved to Florida, I really like Dragon Ball Z. So on YouTube, I would always look up Dragon Ball Z videos, and they have like animated music videos. So I found a link to like a Linkin Park song, but it was over Dragon Ball Z scenes.
So cool.
And I was like, Linkin Park, where is that? Like, I don't understand. And then I realized, you know, I learned that it was a band. And
name
I was
of like, a band, yeah.
And I was like, oh man, this is tight. Like, what? And I discovered Numb and In the
like
End.
Like Vegeta and Numb.
yeah. It was
world
so,
colliding really big, yeah.
It was amazing. And then so for a while, I was doing that with like Dragon Ball Z videos. And then I also discovered like Sum 41 and Green Day. And I was like, whoa, man.
All that cool. Like pop punk stuff of the early 2000s, huh?
Yeah, I was obsessed. I was like, this is my niche. Like, it's not too heavy. It's not too soft. Like, it's perfect and kind of aggressive. I loved it.
That's good, man. Yeah. Dragon Ball Z was like my first soap opera, basically. I watched that. I've seen all, you know, 270 episodes.
Geez, it's kind of long, but it's not as long as other animes, apparently. Like, One Piece is like still.
No, and it's definitely like a gateway drug anime. It is not like, it's not hardcore. And I'm not super into anime, but mostly because I don't have the time. But man, Dragon Ball Z, such like nostalgia memories. Vegeta was always my favorite.
Yeah, mine too. It's a classic. Like, it's a classic show.
It's good. It's good. Favorite villain from Dragon Ball Z?
I really like Kid Buu, to be honest. I know that it's kind of cliche or whatever because he was like the last one, but it just felt like there was no stopping him. Like, the whole Boo saga,
it went on for a long time.
Yeah.
I always thought the gray one was really creepy.
Oh, yeah. That's when I think that they separated or something.
Yeah. Like, I really like Cell and Frieza a lot, too.
Yeah. I think Cell was, like, is one of, like, the most critically acclaimed, like, villains or whatever. Because, like, his motive was so, like, intense, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Cool. Well, we could go on for Dragon Ball Z for forever. But so after that, the first entry to you doing, you know, music really is band, but did you play any other things before that?
No, actually it was band. I think we visited a Spanish church when we first moved to Florida. And when we walked in, I saw someone playing like the acoustic guitar, but I saw an electric guitar on the stand, like no one was using it. that was later on, I found out to be, you know, Mauricio's father, one of my best friends, who led worship at that church. And I was like, why is no one playing the electric guitar? Like, that's sick. I want to play. And so exactly. I eventually then, you know, told my parents, like, I want to do like band in middle school, because this was fifth grade era. So going into middle school.
And your parents are music lovers too.
Yeah, yeah. My dad like did like music at his old church back in New York. My mom does not have a music background, but she loves music. So it's just kind of funny how everybody in the family plays an instrument or sings except her.
Oh.
Yeah, she feels left out. But yeah, that just, you know, brought me into band in middle school, and we did tryouts, and that's how I got into percussion, and I played percussion through concert band and symphonic band those 3 years. And then in eighth grade at our Spanish church, we had, you know, kind of like a little shift in the music or the worship team. And so I had to play bass. Like, we didn't have a bass player. So one of the guys who played keys knew bass, but he had to play keys. So he was like, Elijah, let me just show you what the notes are. Here's the chords on the paper, and just, you know, try to remember what's G and what's A. And I was playing very basic bass, but I picked it up very fast, and I was like, okay, I guess I play bass now. Like,
there you go.
And then that led to guitar very quickly, because I was like, if I can do bass, like, I can learn guitar.
Let's upgrade. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
What was your first bass and your first guitar?
We got the bass after the guitar, because I was using the churches, but like, it's just a regular Squire, like jazz bass, I think. And my first guitar was something that my grandpa gave me. It was like a $100 cheap electric guitar. I'm very grateful for it though, because it went through a lot. And then I finally saved up to buy like an Ibanez on my own.
Nice.
A used Ibanez. Then went to an ESP, because I was really into like hard rock stuff, so I was like, I gotta have like,
needed cool something thing. More aggressive. Yeah.
And then I realized, oh wait, you know, I need a Strat. And so years later, when I started playing guitar again, I got myself like a cherry red like Stratocaster that I love, and that Jacob sometimes uses to this day, my younger brother.
Nice. Well, that's good, man. So you start playing in church worship. Do you have any bands like in the high school time? I always love to ask people what were their bands' names and stuff like that.
Oh, mine is pretty embarrassing. It's Never Look South.
Oh, man, that's good. What genre is Never Look South?
We were like post-hardcore. We like, this is when I was really listening to like
ESP. This is the ESP.
Yeah. Like, we like The Devil Wears Prada and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's
the three word ambiguous names, Never Look South.
Yes.
I like it. Solid. Any other good band names?
No, I think, well, it wasn't really a band, but we were trying to start it, and it was called like Violent Sunday, which is kind of silly, but
another solid name.
We didn't really do much with that. Like, during the high school, like, the band era was kind of short-lived, but you know, I learned from it. You know, you learn different things about, you know, people and how you work with people, how you know, you start to write music during that time. So it was a good like learning curve.
So you also talked about Spanish church and kind of your own background. What influence does your personal and family culture imprint on the music that you make and the stuff you do, you know, then and now, and what does that look like?
I don't know that it really imprints something on the kind of music that I made back then, but my dad would always listen to, like, there's this one album by a group called Terra Samba, which is Brazilian, by the way, for those who don't know. And it's a live album, and I love that album so much. It's from like 1998, and I still listen to that album to this day. So, like, I guess some of the things that they would listen to, or some salsa music that they played when I was younger, like, I still listen to, but I don't think it ever really made an impact to the point where it influenced music that I made. It was just more of like what I would listen to. And I mean, I guess subconsciously maybe that like plays a little role, but not that I'm aware of, but
not
I love
overtly
it.
Anyways.
Yeah. But I love it.
So at what point did you decide you want to get involved in things like, because you do several different things. You do broadcast stuff. you have a band now and you also have your podcast. So at what point did you decide, I want to go into some kind of creative career? I want to do things like broadcasting. Was that a clear decision moving out of high school, or what happened?
Oh, it definitely wasn't a clear decision. I did not know what I wanted to do for the longest times. I have gone through so many different phases, and I don't even want to call them phases because they're all just like learning points in your life. But
yeah,
I went from like making beats to rapping to wanting to just mix music, like studio engineering, different projects that I've always started. And like, I realized, nope, this is not it. Nope, this is not it. You know, and I keep moving. And I was a sales rep after high school at AT&T for like 2 years. And a family friend told me that, you know, hey, I work in this TV station, you know, like with the radio people and like the news team and everything. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like radio, because I'm thinking music. And I was like, can I shadow you for one day? And he was like, why don't you just like apply to be an intern? You know, I'm sure that they need interns. So I apply for the radio internship. They said that they don't need people to apply to the news department. And I was like, all right, I mean, I guess this is my way in. I do that. They accept me. You know, they say, yep, sure, just come in. You know, these are the hours. So I'm working full time plus going there on my 2 days off. It was a month of just like, I had no social life for like a full month. I barely slept. I was very tired all the time. And eventually that led to a job opportunity. And I was like, oh, that I didn't expect this.
And
mind you, while I was in school, I was still trying to pursue like my general AA at Valencia. So like, I really had no direction of what I wanted to do. And this job opportunity helped shape me and realize like, I'm pretty good at this. And oh, I do like this. And oh, this is more than what I was making as a sales rep with commission, like, you know. And I started to develop a love and a passion for journalism. And I think that it's very important, you know, like information, like storytelling, informing the community, like very good local community, like driven news. And I've been there for 5 years now and I love it. I have plans of like, you know, not leaving, but like, you know, like moving on to the next chapter in time. But I'm extremely grateful to have been there for this long and to work with so many great professionals. And throughout all of that, like I changed my major at UCF to radio and television broadcast. And it took me a while, but I finally graduated after 7 years.
There you go.
But yeah, that's kind of the story with how I got into broadcast. I couldn't have told you that this is what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what does that look like on a day to day for your role? What are the kind of things that you're doing and the skills that you've learned through that? And what does it look like to be Elijah on the set?
So there are two or three different kinds of shifts. There's, you know, like the night shift where you work at 2:30 to 11:30 PM. And throughout the entire day, I believe that there are a total of six newscasts. There is a 6 a.m., 12:30, and a 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. But we also have a Tampa market, so we have to pre-record those two newscasts as well. So we get in, we go straight to editing. I edit content for the news pretty much throughout the first like 3 hours that I'm there. Packages, VOs, and what a package is, for those who don't know, is just, you know, like it's just kind of like a put together story, you know, with images. Okay. and audio, the voiceover, sound bites from interviewees and other people that you make.
That's
across
the thing that they cut to after they do the little intro.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll toss to a package. Yeah. To be more of an informative story on whatever the topic is, you know? And so we edit VOs and packages, and we also edit promos throughout the day and during commercials. So that they can inform you like, hey, you know, at six, this is what we're going to cover. Like this happened and learn more at six, you know, for more information, tune in at six. And then right about around 5 p.m., we pre-record Tampa's newscast. And then at 6 p.m., we go live on Orlando. and we have a 30-minute newscast, and I am usually directing the primetime newscast. So I sit on a switcher, a Ross switcher. I couldn't tell you the model. I'm always very bad at remembering that. and I'm just leading a team of other technical directors. And, you know, one is on the audio board. One is on a video tape recorder player who just loads all the videos that we're going to use throughout the newscast. And from time to time, someone is helping on the graphics, throwing all the lower thirds and the banners or the CGs, whatever you want to call them. We have so many different names for them. And then once that's over, we kind of wrap up. We take a break, and then we go back at it again for the evening newscast.
So about how many people are you helping direct? It sounds like maybe a handful or so.
It's not that much. It's actually about four of us. There are four TDs.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, four TDs, and we also have a camerographer. So we have someone that's on the floor or in the studio to also be with the anchors and kind of direct them and give them the cues and, you know, change the camera shots and everything like that.
So what's the atmosphere like? You know, what is the feel of being on set or being with that team? You've been there 5 years, so it's probably at least somewhat enjoyable. So
yeah.
What's it like?
It's very fun. I mean, everybody has like a very good like attitude. We try to enjoy it and make the most of what we can, you know. Sometimes it can get a little intense depending on what's going on for that day. Both conventions were pretty stressful the last few weeks. Because we were doing like last minute interviews with political analysts, and we had to connect two different Zoom accounts so that they could have like a little debate within the two box that we punch up. So that can create some tension in the control room. If like someone messes up or if someone's not, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing, it's, you know, we kind of bark at each other a little bit. But at the end of the day, after everything, no matter what happens, like we always like have like a small like chat and, you know, just thank everybody. And it's like, hey, you know, it could have been better, but, you know, we're here. Like, it is what it is. You got to move forward. One thing I learned through that field is like, you can't take anything personal, like anything in life. You can't take anything personally. And, you know, you got to be able to flip the page very quickly, you know, because things are going to happen. And of course, you're going to react very quickly in the moment because there's a lot going on. But, you know, it's not with like malintent or anything, you know, like it's just like, hey, afterwards you just kind of talk it out and it's like, all right, we're good, let's keep it going.
Yeah. Next. But you're just responding and reacting, and it's a live performance, like in the same way as a, you know, a music performance. It's creative thinking on the spot and you know, finding a solution quickly, or, you know,
that's so coming together. That's so funny that you mentioned that, because I promise you, I've never thought about it like that, but you're so right. Like if your string pops while you're in the middle of a set,
your pedal board dies. Yeah,
exactly. Whatever. Which I've seen happen so many times at concerts I've been to, but like you have to like keep going. You can't just stop. Like we're in a live newscast. If someone messes up, like there is no, okay, let's try again, let's start over. Like you can't do that. You know, you have to just figure out very quickly, like, all right, worst case scenario, we're going to break, but that's like a last resort. You can just, you know, fade to black and just tell the master control operator who control the commercials, hey, stand by, we'll take a break, and, you know, tell them to like cut to commercial.
That's the kill switch.
Yeah. and then you have like, you know, one,
so if you
one,
see that stuff is going down on the set,
you just got to go. That's all you can do. And then you have 2 minutes to kind of recalibrate your thoughts and be like, okay, what are we doing? What do we have to do? And there's a producer in the room also to kind of help guide you, because the producer and the technical director, whoever's directing, because we all interchange like the shows, we have to be like in sync and know what we're going to do and, you know, what we can do. Like the producer can tell me, oh, let's do this, 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 and this. And I can tell him, well, I can't because I only have these cameras and, you know, like I need this camera for this or something. Like, so we have to like compromise on what we can and want to do.
Mm. And I bet that's a fast, extremely fast 2 minutes. Oh my gosh, yeah. I bet that feels like 5 seconds. So, well, outside of kind of the broadcast arena, you've also got your band and you've all have released some music. And I don't know how much y'all are still getting together and playing right now, but tell me a little bit about your band before we get into your podcast.
So the band is called Office Hours, which I've always loved the name. I think that it's brilliant. Not to like,
yeah, your branding is very like Comic Sans, or, you know, like very,
yeah, like our shirts is like, this is an Office Hours shirt. And when we played this really like cool art show that a lot of people went to, we had a friend of mine, his name is Justin, Justin Connor. And, he made like a graphic for like our stage performance or whatever. And it was like, this is an Office Hours set. So that's kind of been like our run-on gag. Like, this is an Office Hours like post.
Plain. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so we really want to have like our album name be titled, this is an Office Hours album, because like, I don't know, it just kind of works.
Yeah. But, and y'all have had a couple of EPs. Are you working on an album right now?
We are trying to. Obviously, it's been a little bit difficult. Joshua, my brother, is back in Tallahassee. At FSU for college, and he's coming back down this weekend. Well, that's not going to make sense because of when this airs, but
that'll be fine. He's coming back down to work on stuff.
He's coming back down to work on stuff, and we're just figuring it out. We have one new song that we're hoping to release soon. But yeah, we had one EP that we did that is called Late Night Korean Barbecue. We love Korean barbecue. We always go out to eat some. It's like a what's the word, a statement or a testimony of like camaraderie, you know us
working
together. Yeah. And we also had that single Sunday that has done very well through God's grace, to be honest, because I couldn't tell people. Everyone always asks like, how'd you guys get to 1 million plays? And I'm like, God, I don't know. Like, I really don't know. I didn't submit it to any playlists. I think Spotify's like algorithm just like picked it up, and then it kept going from there. So that's very wild. Very cool. Yeah, it's been such a blessing and such a like milestone. And the members of the band are all people, like we're all very close friends. Like Joshua is my brother, first of all. So you got two DaCostas in the band, and then Seth and Gian, they're longtime friends of Joshua's, and I've known Seth since he was, you know, 6 or 7, because Joshua and him went to like school together, like elementary. And so they're just family. Like, it's very like close knit, you know, they grew up together, you know, throughout high school and stuff. And I've known them for so long. So they've always kind of made music on their own. Like, Josh had his own individual project. Gian had his own individual project. And eventually we were kind of like, let's just do this for real, because we always did like little house shows and we would play covers. We never like made original music. And eventually, like when I was living on my own, I had like a garage that I turned into like a studio, and they would come over. I would go to work because I would still be working full time. So I didn't have that much time to be able to dedicate to the band and to the music. So I left all my recording equipment, and I'd say, hey, like, you guys feel free to work on whatever you want. And that's how, don't break anything. And that's how a lot of the ideas got started. And
that's fun.
And yeah, I mean, like, I like where it's going. It's going slow, but you know, it's something, it's a cool outlet to also have, you know. It's not my biggest priority, but I still enjoy like playing and jamming with them, you know?
I think that kind of from my perspective, and I can even see that, like, knowing you and kind of knowing some of your all's personalities, it seems very casual in the sense of like not forced.
Yes.
Like, it just is what it is, and it kind of sits and speaks on its own, which I think is probably part of the reason things have taken off. It's like, well, we're not like, you know, trying to push the pipeline, or, you know, it's just, we're just making music. And I think that authenticity, is, you know, people always want that. But I think in kind of like today's culture, it's becoming more and more and more, you know, like Brene Brown and vulnerability and, you know, being yourself.
It's being more embraced now.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, no, and that ties into the We Are Human podcast, like authenticity, because I
think, sure, let's roll right into that.
I just believe that that's incredibly important, like through the music and through the podcast, like, just being so true to yourself, and like that will speak volumes, you know, when you don't have to force anything or try to fabricate something that, you know, is not really you, that's when I think all the things that you're doing or want to do will perform better. And so the We Are Human podcast kind of just came to me, like I mentioned earlier, you know, through conversations with people. I'm not going to lie. I had gone through like a breakup in the beginning of this year. So like I kind of was driven what I was driving like all those emotions into something like creative. That's how I always work. I'm always driven by like my emotions, no matter what they are, if it's fear, doubt, anger or anything, frustration, like, and I'm always able to manifest it into something like good or a project. And I dedicated all my time into figuring out what this is going to look like, what I want it to be. And through the conversations I had with friends, you know, I told myself this was so like therapeutic. Like I learned some things about friends that I haven't talked to in 7 years. And what if I could do that with everybody? What if I could do that with people I don't even know? Like how much could I learn about people? And I started calling even more friends, like, and telling them about the idea, like, hey, would you be interested, you know, like to do this with me? Like, let's try it out. It was kind of like the beginning stages, the planning. And eventually, like, I scheduled interviews for a couple of weekends.
I know how that goes. Yeah.
It was overwhelming, definitely. I did 3 in one day once, and I was like exhausted. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even speak. I don't even want to do anything.
A lot of mental energy.
Absolutely. Because, you know, you're listening. You want to respond appropriately. And then on top of that, I do everything myself. Like I set up the cameras myself. I have to make sure that they're running, that the audio is working. And so I'm constantly like looking back and forth to make sure that, oh, this is still capturing. Okay, cool.
While trying to be chill and have a authentic conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a challenge, but I've slowly gotten better and kind of figured out ways to ensure that, you know, I don't have to, I can do a little bit less. And so like now I use my condenser microphones. Before I was using wireless like lav microphones that require battery. So now I can just XLR into the camera and, you know, I don't have to worry about audio levels. As long as I make sure that I have the check beforehand, I'm good. Like that's not going to go out.
Yeah. You know? And you can mix that later, you know, the little things. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, the reason why I do it is the goal is really just to encourage and inspire people. It's to impact people because everybody goes through something similar, but not so similar at the same time. Like we may share the same experiences, but how we react and how we go through them are also very unique. And so it's highlighting all these unique stories, the creative pursuits that people want to go for and shoot for. And memories of theirs from like childhood or just memories that we've shared together, because a lot of it started with friends of mine and, you know, just the journey to self-love and self-improvement, because that's, you know, I think one of the keys to happiness and joy and just a happy life, you know, like just being healthy, because that's something that's very hard that people are now talking about more and being more mindful of, like just self-improvement, like, you know, being kind to yourself and wanting to be a better you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really love kind of the intimate nature. I love the visual element. It's just something that, you know, for me, without that broadcast background, is like the first time I went to shoot something for like a YouTube video and I had like, you know, just, you know, Home Depot can lights and things like that. I'm like sweating my brains out and it's like, man, there's a reason that people are professional at this. So I know that it is probably like picking children, but what are some of the episodes that stick out to you thus far? And you know, what have been some of the, you know, kind of favorite moments and memories already? Because it's still just a budding thing, but it's already seemed like it's had some awesome moments.
Yeah, that is tough, but I do have like a few favorite of mine. My favorite are Clarissa, who I shouted out. I love her. She's one of my best friends. I've known her since sixth grade, and we've really just grown and like learned a lot together, you know, like alongside each other. She's been through everything with me, you know, she's seen it all. And we had like a more intimate discussion rather than me interviewing somebody. Like she started asking me questions, and then we got, you know, into it and, you know, talked a lot about being present and collaborating with others. So that's one of my favorites. And my longtime friend, Jose Torres, he lost his finger in like a motorcycle accident. And so he had a very powerful story about acceptance and growth, you know, not understanding that there are a lot of things that we can't control about life. And we have to just, you know, accept that and really just move forward in a positive way. But what it's brought to me is just so many good memories, because I've had so many good conversations with so many like good friends. And I cherish those moments like immensely. Just being able to sit down with people who, like, I have a friend who lives in Savannah, but she came down to do this because she was picking up some stuff. And she was like, "Hey, I'm in town. Like, we can do it." And I was like, "Bet," because this is going to be so awesome. I also appreciate her. Her name is Ryan Jones. And yeah, it's just been, it's been an amazing experience just to kind of talk with friends and then talk with people who I'm more or less acquainted with. Not, they're not really like good friends of mine, but, you know, I know them a little bit, and learning about them and their journey throughout life. Because like I mentioned, it's similar, but it's also not. Like, everybody is unique in their own way. And I love that it has been reaching people, and people have reached out to me and said, you know, "Hey, I really related to this. It resonated with me. Like, it's this episode specifically, you know, encouraged me because I needed to hear that," or anything, you know, like that is literally the reason why I want to continue to do this.
I know the one that I was loving was just watching your parents and sharing their story. And I did that Bible study with your dad, with Dustin and everything, a while ago. So it was also cool to hear some of those same stories, like, fleshed out in a different way.
Yeah.
it very, like, for me, I was watching it, enjoying it, but I was also thinking, man, how precious to have this documentation. I think 50 years from now, you're going to look back and think, wow, the fact that I have this like amazing family home video, basically.
Yeah, dude, I'll cry. I mean, I honestly think, and that's what my coworker told me, like, dude, like his father passed away a while ago, years ago, actually. But, you know, when I showed him like the bloopers and all that, he was like, "Dude, that is so sick. Like, what I would do to be able to have like my dad on camera or something, like to interview my dad." And I was like, "Yeah, man, like, I know that that must be really difficult, but you're right. You know, like, I'm very grateful that I was able to do this, or this idea popped into my head, you know, to be able to, you know, have the impulse to just ask them." Because honestly, theirs was not really planned. This is when I was kind of like slowing down on the interviews because, you know, I didn't want to overwhelm myself. Plus, you know, this is when the spike came back with COVID. And I was like, "All right, let me like chill out. I don't want to see people. I think that's best, you know, and smart and safe." And so I was like, "Oh, my parents, you know, I can interview them. They're here and it'll be like a cool content, you know." And it ended up being one of the best episodes, I think.
That's awesome, man. So before we kind of get into the rounding out the end of the interview, so where are all the different places you would want people to find the podcast, Office Hours, if they want to follow you? You have the most clever Instagram handles, the dot wave and the dot TV. I'm like, dang it, that's so cool.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
where do you want people to find all your stuff?
Well, the podcast is on Instagram. It is wearehuman.tv. And it is the same as like our website. My website is wearehuman.tv. I tried to make that consistent. It was originally .mov. Which, you know, ties into the clever handle thing. I don't know. I just always thought that that's cool. But yeah, that's where you can find us. It's just the website and our Instagram, because my YouTube is connected or embedded into my website. So you could just go to the website. It's a lot easier, I think. And for Office Hours, it's on Instagram. That's all we have. It's just Office Hours FL. And you'll find us there. We have some new music coming soon. It's a, I'm biased, but I honestly think that it is a great, like, phenomenal song. Like,
great.
These guys are brilliant songwriters.
Where did you record all this stuff? Did you do all the recording and engineering, or did you all go to some studios, or what did you do with that?
Yeah, all the office hour stuff is always in-house. We always record it either at my house or at Seth's house. He has like a really nice loft upstairs where we have like all of our equipment. And I usually end up mixing the songs myself. Seth is producing this one, this new one that's coming out. So he's been kind of in charge with like doing the recordings and
creative direction a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then he sent it off to me. So I've already mixed it. I have to tweak a few things, but we're getting set for the rollout.
All right. That sounds good, man. Well, let me know and we'll shout it out when that comes out too.
Sounds great.
Well, man, before we head out, I would love for you to just flesh out, why would you encourage people to make more music?
Music has, wow, it has honestly changed my life. Music education, you know, music performance, all of it is such a huge encouragement to me. And I think that it is a huge encouragement to people. And something that someone could make, like a song, for example, could resonate with someone on such an intimate level. So you really don't know like the impact you're making through the music that you make, you know? And I think that is one of the most beautiful things in life, because a lot of my memories stem from just music that I've heard, like nostalgic feelings, feelings of sadness, feelings of joy. So that's what I would say. Like, people need to make more music because it impacts people. There's a bigger picture at hand.
Mm. Well, this is a great chat, dude. I'm excited to push out all the things you're doing, and I'm excited to hear this new song. But everybody, remember, give more grace, share more love, and make more music.
Yes, sir.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Elijah. And if you did, you can find out everything he's doing with We Are Human. You can check out his broadcast work, and you can also check out the Office Hours band. All that's in the link in the show notes, as well as checking out how to get in touch with us. Remember, Instagram is where things are popping, at make.more.music. You can send me an email at makemoremusicpodcast@gmail.com. And today, let's get right into it. We've got a new music shout-out. All right, our new music shout-out today is from a group called Dance Loud. It's not a DJ and not a band. There's something in between. They're a duo. They both have degrees in audio engineering and music business, and they use traditional record techniques with mostly analog instruments to create electronic music described as what they call emotional dance music. So this is their track, Hear Me Out. You can find all the links to their stuff in the show notes as well. So remember, everybody, give more grace, share more love, make more music, and here is Hear Me Out by Dance Loud.